Take your Bibles, please, and turn with us to the book of Luke, 16th chapter of the book of Luke. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word, and we'll start reading at verse number 1. Luke 16, verse 1. And he said also unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if ye are not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's pray. Father, again today, I thank you for the Bible, the Word of God. This preacher needs you today, and ask you, God, to help me as I preach, that the will of God be done. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We've been preaching, of course, the series on treasures. We preached, whose are they? We preached, what are they? Whose are they? Where to put them. Tonight we're going to preach this on the subject of treasures, managing them. How do we manage our treasures? What do we do with them? We need to be faithful stewards of our treasures, of them things that God has given us. And so tonight we're going to look at this parable. This is a parable. And let me say this to you. A parable, I remember my Bible teacher telling me this way back when I was a lot younger than I am now. A parable is an earthly story teaching a heavenly meaning or a spiritual meaning. That's what it's for. He's telling us a earthly story, some story about what has happened or something that could happen on earth, to teach us something spiritual, something from heaven. So this is what this parable is all about. And a parable is something, and let me just remind you of this, a parable is something you never want to hang your doctrine on. You cannot hang your doctrine on a parable. Okay, because parables are written as stories to teach us something spiritual. But they don't always have forth everything in one parable. May not meet the whole story. In other words, you know, a lot of things are said about Jesus Christ in the Bible. Joshua is certainly a type of Jesus Christ, but he's not a perfect type. Joseph is a type of Jesus Christ, but he's not a perfect type. So just learn from parables. Learn the truth that God is trying to teach us. And that's what we're going to try to do tonight. I want you to notice somebody here came to the rich man. And he had this rich man had a steward. He had someone who I guess you might call, referred to as a business manager. He handled his affairs, took care of his money, done all of those things that was necessary. And someone came to the rich man and said, "He has wasted your goods." I want you to notice something. He did not say he stole them. He said he wasted them. This is important in the story tonight. Yes, it's important to us. He didn't say he stole the goods. He said he wasted them. Now, I don't know if this was a true accusation. I kind of feel like it must have been because of the reaction from the steward himself. He didn't deny it anyway. In the story, he didn't deny it. And we do know that the Lord was going to take him out of his stewardship. So I thought one time, I got to thinking about that, and although maybe that other guy just wanted his job. I don't know. But he brought an accusation to the Lord and said, "Your steward, the one who's overseeing everything, is wasting it." Now remember, he's teaching us a spiritual truth. Okay? It's important that we don't waste that which God has given us. Now that's important. That we don't waste it. He didn't say he stole it. He said he wasted it. Okay? Now, like we said, we don't know the whole story. Don't know all that was happening. But some reason that rich man, the Lord, believed what he was told. And so he was going to remove him. In verse number 2, he says, "And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward." He was going to remove him from that job, but let me take note that he did not remove him that day because he still conducted some business. I don't know when he, and I think there's a reason for that, and I'll give you that reason, but he was still conducting business, and but he was going to remove him very soon. Now, let me tell you what I believe this parable is trying to teach us. I believe this is a parable that's trying to teach us from the time that we get saved till the time that God removes us from our stewardship, and he will remove us all. Right now we have a stewardship of our life and the things that God gives us. I, for many years, had the stewardship of this church. I no longer have that stewardship. Our son Jerry now has the stewardship of this church. Okay? Now there'll be a day when God will remove me from my stewardship here on earth. And you too. Yes, sir. Okay? And I believe that's what this is a picture of. And I'm going to do my best to try to teach in this because I think it's so, so important. I think we can learn so much about managing that which God has given us. And that is important. You see, we sometimes forget that these things and possessions are not ours. 2 weeks ago, I preached on that. Whose are they? I think if you was here, we used enough scripture to help you to understand everything that you have and I have belongs to the Lord. Amen. And we are just stewards of it. Yes. We're the business manager. Amen. Now it's important you get a hold of that. You're going to miss it if you don't. Okay? It's important you understand that truth. They are not ours. We are stewards over that which God has given us. Okay? Now, the time that you get saved till the time God removes you and I from our stewardship, what are we going to do with it? We are a steward of our time, our talents, our possessions, everything we have. What are we going to do from that time you get saved till the time God removes you from this earth and removes you from your stewardship? What are you going to do? You see, this man did not leave voluntarily from that stewardship. And you and I won't leave voluntarily either. It'll be God's call, God's time, when he appoints us to be removed from our stewardship. So I believe what it is, there's a period of time there, and I believe that's what it's teaching here. There's a period of time here that this steward had to do something and about his stewardship. Now remember, though, it's an earthly story he's telling us. Okay? We're just learning some spiritual truths from it. In verse 3, he says, "And the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed." You see, he had nothing stashed away. Now, I'm talking about from an earthly standpoint. He had nothing stashed away. Say, how does that teach us? Well, whether you and I understand or not, we don't have anything else. We don't have anything stashed away either that we're going to take with us. We're not going to take a thing with us. Understand? You see, this man had nothing stashed away. He said, "I cannot dig." I think he must have been an elderly fella like myself. He said, "I cannot dig." I think that's what he was saying. I can't no longer go out and dig ditches. Okay? He said, or to beg, he said. He had been the head honcho around there for a long time. To beg was something that he did not want to do. He did not want to go and beg of those whom he had just been over. So he said, "I can't dig. I can't work like that. So I can't, and I don't want to beg." But yet he wanted a secure future. And I think that's important, and I'm not just talking about salvation, but it's important certainly in salvation that we have a secure future. Yes. That in Christ, we know for sure that we're going to heaven. That's security. But we also want to have a secure future in eternity. Don't you want to meet God and let him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant"? I think you would want that, don't you? You know, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." I think we need a secure future, as this man was wanting. He was concerned about his future, and I know he was looking at down here, and he's going to do some things here that helps him to secure his future, in which we can learn from. So I believe that this is what he was talking about. He wanted a secure future down here. We want a secure future up there. Yes, sir. In salvation, we have it in Christ. But how about our future? How about what we've got waiting on us up there? Is that important? Yes, well, I just happen to believe it is. Yes, I think it's very, very important. So we want a secure future also. You see, I think that those things that count for eternity must have priority. They're more important than these things down here. And you know, we can say that, and we should say that. This preacher just said that, and I believe it is true, but to put it into practice becomes very difficult sometimes, especially for some people. They say, "That's what I'm concerned about. I'm concerned about heaven." But to put it into practice down here becomes very difficult. See? You understand what I'm saying? And it's more important. Future, eternity, is more important than down here. Right. Yes, sir. Amen. Amen? Now, in verse number 4, he says, "I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me unto their houses." In other words, he was going to go and make some friends. He was going to go and have some friends made where they would be friendly to him so that he could have his future secured. Amen. Okay? And basically, as we'll see, that's what the Lord is telling us. The Lord is teaching us what should be our greatest concern between salvation and when God removes us from this earth. What should be the major concern for each and every one of us? That we make friends. Now I'm going to tell you what those friends are. That we make friends. We win people to Christ. Amen. Yes, We give the message of Jesus Christ to a lost world. That's more important than all that we can build up down here on this earth. We'll explain here as we go. But let me say something to you. There's a difference between faithful and unfaithful Christians. There's a difference. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say you had 4 children, and one of them was a rebel. He just was a rebel. He didn't do what he was supposed to do. He was taught the same things that the other's children were taught, but he did not do what they were supposed to do. And he went against the rules over and over and over again. And yet the other children obeyed, I want to say not everything, but obeyed, was obedient children. Let me ask you, which one would you reward? Would you reward that one who was a rebel to the degree that you would the other ones? You say, Brother Ross, you mean you didn't love them? No, I didn't say that. You love them. God loves us. And I don't care who we are, God loves us. But let me assure you, there is a difference between faithful and unfaithful Christians.
Yes, sir. Amen.
And there will be a difference in heaven. See, those that win souls will shine as the brightness of the stars forever.
Right.
Brother Ross, do you understand all that? No, but I believe the Bible.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen.
I believe what God says is true. And there'll be a difference. I don't know all the differences. I believe personally it's the ability to show forth the glory of God throughout the age of eternity. And those who win souls are going to shine as the brightness of the stars forever. There's a difference. God talks about in His Word about the rewards that He brings with Him. He going to just give everybody the same reward? Do you think He is? Well, I don't either. See, that makes sense. So what I'm saying is, you know, we've got to learn something. We've got to learn that between the day of our salvation and the day that God removes us, we got a lot of work to do. Say, Brother Ross, do you work for your salvation? Of course not. You're surely smarter than that. You do not work for your salvation, but you do serve God. I can't pay the debt that Jesus paid to save my soul. But I still owe Him a debt. Not for salvation. But I owe Him a debt of gratitude and thanksgiving for what He's done for me. And I ought to do my best to be obedient to what He tells me to do.
Amen.
We owe a debt. Not salvation. But we owe a debt, you see. So what can I do while I'm still on the job? All of us are still on the job right now, okay? While I'm still on the job, what can I do? Well, I've got to make myself friends. He went out and physically made himself friends. We'll talk about that by some of the things he done. He made himself friends because he was talking about the unrighteous mammon. We're talking about an earthly story. But God wants us to make friends. He wants us to win souls to Christ, to influence people for Jesus Christ.
Yes, sir.
Amen. You see, I believe in missions. I think you all do too. Every $17 of every $100 that comes into this church goes into the mission fund. 17% of everything that comes in, I'm talking about tithes and offering, goes into the mission fund. Isn't that correct, Brother Charles? We started that years and years ago. You say, Brother Ross, there may be a better way to do missions. I know, I've heard them all. But let me give you one of the reason I did that is because when you put in a dollar, young ladies, 17 cents of that goes to missions. Everybody in this church, whether they understand it or not, are giving to missions. If you put in $100, 17 of it go to missions. You understand what I'm saying? And now, is that all the missions we give? Oh, no, no. You know, we have an opportunities. Our pastor has encouraged us to put more into missions. He's right. That's what we ought to do. There's other times to give, but let me assure you that when you put in something, 17% of that goes into missions to help win souls to Christ across this world. And that's one of the reasons I did it that way, because I want everybody involved in the mission work.
Amen.
And not only that, whether you understand it or not, if you put in, Cassie, let's say you put in $100. She's big time money. $100. And some of that, $17 of it, goes for missions. But then the rest of it goes for the church work. You're still doing God's work. You're helping the bus ministry. You're buying gas for the bus. Amen. You're buying buses. Amen. Maybe you're not buying all of it, but you're buying part of that bus. And you help to support the ministry around here. You see, that's what this thing's all about. And God is saying that which God has given us, we need to learn to manage it. Well, we need to decide. I told you, I think it was last week, that we pretty well determine our own salary. In other words, how much are we going to keep? We decide that. Whatever we make, we decide how much we're going to personally keep. Amen? So anyway, God wants us, during the time from our salvation till God removes us, to be busy about making friends. In other words, winning people to Christ. Influencing people for Jesus Christ across this whole world. Now, this man in this parable was in dire need. He was getting ready to be turned out of the job. Didn't know what he was going to do. So what did he do? He showed mercy on other people. I think one of the greatest truths, if we will listen to it, if you will mind this, you'll be a happier person. Instead of worrying about your problems and your troubles, get involved with somebody else's and help them. This man was willing to go and show mercy to these other debtors. And I think that ought to be our plan too. You know, there's people who plan on having nervous breakdowns. They just plan on them. Best thing to do is get busy, concerned about other people's that needs help, and you'll forget all about your nervous breakdown. Now, I'm not making fun of anybody that had a nervous breakdown. I'm sure that's probably right, but a lot of times we could ward that off if we get our mind on other people, on the things of God, rather than on ourselves all the time. Amen. I don't know that I've ever had a nervous breakdown. I don't think I've ever had one, so I don't exactly know what one is. But I've tried to stay so busy, you know, and other things that I haven't even looked it up in the dictionary, trying to find out what it was. See, I don't want a nervous breakdown. Amen. I want to just be busy and do what God wants me to do. There's always something to do. I don't know about these people who don't have anything to do. I find things to do all the time. All the time. Seven days a week, I find something to do. Sundays, I come to church. Serve the Lord. Wednesday nights, I come to church. Saturdays, we go soul winning. And then I find something to do. I'll guarantee you I've got something to do all the time. Amen. We just need to be busy. Amen. Yes. Now, I think this, how tragic it would be if we had to face our Lord with nothing to offer. No influence on souls whatsoever. Now, Cassie, when I was giving them $17 out of that $100 that you gave to missions, that's a great thing. It's a wonderful thing. But that's just a little start. Your life ought to be devoted to the things of God. And my life should be too. See, because I don't want to stand before Lord Jesus Christ and have nothing to offer whatsoever. I know I don't, salvation-wise, but I don't want to stand before him and have nothing to offer him. You don't want that, do you? No, I don't believe you want that. Amen. Now, how was he going to solve this problem? Let's read verse 5. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him and said unto this first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? He said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. You notice here, he was still doing the work of the business manager, just like you and I are. We are still the steward over that which God gives us. He hadn't pulled the plug on us yet. We're still business managers for the Lord. We're still stewards. You understand? Notice something. He was not dishonest. He did not do anything dishonest. He had a right to do what he was doing. And he was like as many businesses do. They write off bad debts. Anybody in business today, have you had to write off some bad debts? If you haven't, you're a very unusual person. Now, this man had the right to do that. He was not being dishonest, okay? But he had wasted, listen to me, wasted his Lord's goods. And I think God is teaching us something. What do we do with the goods that God gives us? Do we waste them? You're going to have to figure that out yourself. And don't be easy on yourself. Because there's a lot of wasting going on when it comes to God's goods that God has given us. You understand what I'm saying? How do we spend that which God has given us? What do we do with the possessions that God has given us, you see? See, from the time that he knew he was going to lose his job till he lost it, what did he do? Well, in verse 8, look what he says. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. The Lord said, you know what, you done good in that. You was wise in what you did. He did not condemn him. He said, you was very wise. In fact, he says, the children of this world are wiser than the children of light. That's interesting. He's saying they do more to gain friends and use the money rightly to gain other. I know they're gaining unrighteous mammon, but they're doing more than the children of light. We don't use ours wisely. That's what he's saying to us. Amen? The world is wiser than the children of light. Christians pour millions and millions of dollars into buildings just used for recreation. Foolish spending. We're not in the recreation business. We're in the soul-winning business. Churches all over this country. I've read about one here a while back down in Texas. Well, we was taken by one down there in Texas, wasn't we? Drove by it down there. And they had bowling alleys in that church. They had tennis courts. They had everything you can imagine. I want to tell you something. That's a waste of God's money. God never put us in the business of recreation. But you look around these buildings that we have here. Do you see fanciness? Do you see the crystal cathedral? You see nice looking buildings, and they should look nice. They should be attractive. But you don't see expensive buildings, fancy buildings. And the building that they're going to build out here is just a good old solid building so that we can use it for the glory of God, get Sunday school classes out there, down here, relieve this down here, so we can get Sunday school classes down here and get the school out there. They'll be used, folks, about 7 days, or 6 days a week, at least, and sometimes seven. Many of these buildings that Christians or churches are building get used maybe once or twice a week. And there are thousands and thousands and thousands and millions, even dollars, go into those things. It's foolishness. They're wasting God's money. Wasting it. You believe that?
Amen.
I believe it.
Yes, sir.
Wasting it. You see, the world invests their money, as he did, invest things for their benefit, so they'll gain more unrighteous mammon. But folks, our whole goal is to gain souls for Christ. See, that's the goal of this church. That's what it's all about. We need Sunday school rooms so we can teach them about Jesus. I told you back there when we built that on, I said, I don't see a new structure about there or even new Sunday school rooms. I see children. I see precious children going through those halls and into those rooms and being taught by dedicated teachers the Word of God. See, that's what it's all about. Now, I've heard people say, well, God just expects me to be faithful and go to church. That's what God expects me to do. Well, let me say something else. He also expects you and I to be fruitful.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Not just faithful, not just hold that which we have, but to increase it. I'm talking about souls.
Yes, sir.
I'm talking about influence on souls for Jesus Christ, you see. Let me share something with you. You know what the world does when they want to advertise a business? They put all kinds of things in the paper and advertise signs out in front advertising what they got on sale. That's the way businesses do. That's just the way they do it. And they make money by doing that, you see. But we as Christians, as God said in His Word, we're dumb. We're not as wise as they are. I'm not talking about putting ads in the paper. I'm talking about every single individual Christian in this room ought to be talking to somebody this week about coming to church and hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, or giving them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every one of us. That's how we advertise. That's how we get people in. You're not going to bring very many people into this church if there's never no one going out and visiting, knocking on doors. You're just not going to get them in. You just want to sit here and just wait until they... Now, that's not what you're doing, but I just say this. A lot of churches do that. They sit and wait for someone to walk in the door. You can't do that. You've got to advertise through your personal testimony of the goodness of God.
Yes,
amen, and how good God is. And hey, we got a church out here that preaches the Word of God. See, I know he's my son, but everybody I say, listen, come out and hear my son preach. Oh, you'll be blessed. He's a wonderful preacher. He preaches the Bible, preaches the Word of God. I tell him that all the time. You know, you ought to brag. You ought to brag on your church. Brag on your preacher. Amen. Say, he preaches. I don't mean personally brag on him, brag him up. Just tell him that he preaches the Bible. He preaches the Word of God. Amen. See, we need to get the word of God out. Amen. We need to get to advertise through every Christian doing his part, you see. Now, this is God's money. How do I manage it? Do you agree it's God's money?
Yes, sir.
Do you agree that every possession you have is God's?
Yes, sir.
Now, we proved that in the Scriptures. Do you agree with that? Now, how are we going to manage it? See, I want to tell you something. If you get this thought in your mind, I was going to say it'll drive you nuts, but it won't. But it just, everywhere you go, you start spending money, and you think, hey, this is God's. Do I want to do this or not? This is the Lord's. Should I spend this or not? Because it is.
Yes, sir.
Or how should I spend it? You understand what I'm saying? Sure, sure. Now, he said, and he told him in verse number 9, he says, "And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation." In other words, from the moment we're saved to the time that God removes us out of this old earth, we're to take those possessions, that mammon, unrighteous mammon, we're to use it for a different purpose than what they used it for. We're to make friends, yes, we're to make souls for Christ. You understand what I'm saying? See, it's so important, you see. Our task is not to make money or store up money, but to make friends and influence for Jesus Christ.
I read sometime back, I can't remember even where it was, but one man was, they asked him what he did. He said, "I am a soul winner, cleverly disguised as an electrician." You see, that guy had his priorities correct. See, we're not, and nothing wrong with being an electrician, Brother Charles, but we're not an electrician and then we do a little soul winning once in a while. We ought to be a soul winner, and God has given me the job of electrician to make a living for my family and to glorify Him with it. You understand what I'm saying? You see, that's what we ought to be doing from the time we get saved till the time God removes us. We ought to be influencing people for Jesus Christ, whether it's through your giving through your church, whether it's through your personal testimony. No matter what it is, it ought to be an influence for Christ. Now, folks, we're talking about friends. We're not talking about just buddies. It's good to have buddies. I mean that. I believe that. I believe a fisherman likes somebody that likes to fish. I'm not saying there's a thing wrong with that. I think a teacher a lot of times like to talk with teachers. That's just common thing. But what God is saying to us is, you know, we need to influence people to be like us, not everything I'm talking about as far as saved is concerned, to be like us. Now, we ought to have the same interest in Christ. Amen. And we ought to be busy about that. So he's just simply saying, use that which the world uses for they use it for unrighteousness. We're to use it to make friends or souls for Christ. Young people scattered throughout this, you more than likely, I don't know what's going to happen in your life. I don't know how long God's going to give you, but more than likely, you've got quite a few years ahead of you to make friends. To have a great influence. I'm talking about having a great influence on their soul's condition. Bring them to Christ. You've got a lot of years to do that. We older folk don't have as much years left, but we've already been around a while, hopefully doing that very same thing. And folks, that's what God wants us to do. Amen. How are we going to manage? How are we going to manage God's possessions that God has given us? See, this man done wisely because he went out and made friends, and then when he did get removed from that job, he would absolutely have a place to stay. Now you say, Brother Ross, how's that work with this? I want to tell you what I believe. I believe when we get to heaven, there's going to be some welcoming committees.
Yes, sir.
I know this. When I get to heaven, I want to see Brother Elmer Evans. I want to see him. I want to thank him and Mrs. Evans. I really do. I want to see him. You know, he was just an old, tough preacher, just never had any schooling, but he just preached the Word of God. And I want to walk up to him in heaven and say, I don't know what I'll call him, but Brother Evans, thank you so much. You influenced me for Christ.
Amen.
And because of that, our whole family saved, born again. God called me to preach. He told me one day, he said, Bob, he said, you're the highlight of my ministry. Now what he was saying was, he had seen other people saved, but no one ever followed the Lord in preaching the Word of God. Tickled him to death that I was a preacher. But he influenced me for Christ. They're not gone yet, but I want to find Jerry and Ruth Ann Purcell. Lived across the road from us. Was just a faithful witness. Just faithful witness. Invited us to church and showed forth their faith. I want to look them up and say, Jerry, Ruth Ann, thank you so much. And I believe, if I've got it right, I just believe there'll be some people up there. Not a whole lot, not near enough, but it'll look me up and say thank you. Thank you for. Now we're not going about what you know what God. We know God did it all. We know all of that, but I'm just simply saying we made some friends for eternity. Amen? And don't you think we ought to be busy about doing that? So how are we going to manage that which God has given us? Are you using those things? Are you taking that which God gives you and putting them in to managing them in such a way that the influence is out there for Christ instead of building up your pleasures and goods constantly? I'm just saying, we choose how we're going to manage them. And God knows you have need of all these things. God knows what you have need of. Perfectly all right, God knows. But I want to tell you, He expects us not to waste His goods. You understand that? See, this man wasted them. And we could go into a lot of things. Pastor Jerry's doing some preaching on financial debts and all of that. But, you know, credit cards and a lot of credit to have to pay interest that has to pay is a waste. It's a waste. I don't know where you're at. I'm just simply saying to you, it's a waste. It's wasting God's money. Amen? Just a waste. We need to get that straightened out. Listen to your pastor on Sunday night and let him help you move in that direction. Can't get it all done overnight. You won't. But move in that direction. Don't waste God's money. Amen? Just don't do it. So we need to use God's money to get people saved. Win them to Christ. Amen? You see, something I want you to remember. All that God gives us is a sacred trust for eternity. Now, I told you the week I preached on that, it'll change your life if you get a hold of that. And I understand when you're in debt and you have all these things over your head, you really don't want to discuss the fact that everything belongs to God and that you've got to be careful how you spend it. But you and I, all of us, need to realize that's a sacred trust that God has given us. Everything that God has given us is a sacred trust that we will be stewards over. Now, how are we going to manage it? You see, the most important use of money is not to gratify our pleasures, but to win others to Christ.
Amen.
Amen. You see, we need to make friends in order to win them to Christ. Amen. Now, tonight, take this as for the way it was intended. Remember something. You are a manager. You are a steward. So am I. Over everything that God has given us. Amen. Husbands, you're a steward over your family. You know why God puts you as the head? Put you in the leadership. That's your stewardship. Yeah, it is. It's your stewardship. Absolutely. Amen. You let your wife run the home, shame on you. You're the steward. God's going to hold you accountable. Now go hold somebody else accountable. Go hold you accountable. Amen. It's just the way it is. You understand what I'm telling you? See, it goes deeper than just money. It goes deeper than just possessions. It goes into all parts of our life. We're stewards of the life that God has given us. Amen? So consider those things. Let it help you, not hurt you. Let it be a help and an encouragement to you that you can begin to manage God's money better than you have before, and God's possessions and all that God has given you better than you have before. Let's pray. Father, I thank you again today for your grace and goodness and kindness, and thank you for who you are. Help us to learn to be good managers, Father, of that which you've given us. And Lord, tonight we just pray that there'll be those that make a decision tonight to be better managers of what you've given them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.